and welcome to Geeks Unleashed, run by Geek Bomb. I am Chief Bomb, Maud Garrett. That is Taz Pants, who is the Technical Operations and Australian Content Manager. Basically, she's the tits. And I've got cool, fun guests on today. Geeks Unleashed is all about finding someone within the games community and just getting into their head. What makes them a geek, why they love it so much, how they got where they were, and our beautiful guests that we have on today. You know her as Chara Lanazard. It is Alana Pierce. Hello, Alana.
Hi. Thank you for pronouncing it correctly.
How do people pronounce it?
Chara Lanazaha is some kind of variation of that most of the time.
Just, I guess, the snooze. Chara.
And I'm like, you got it! Close.
It's kind of easy. It's just Alana within Charizard.
Exactly! But then I think people don't realize that, so. Like, as soon as you point that out, they're like...
It's very intimidating looking.
Yeah, it is. And I would change it, but I feel like it's a bit late. And then some people are like, you know, your name sounds a lot like Charizard. And I'm like, you, sir, you're very intimidating. You got it.
You, sir. If you keep saying things like you, sir, you need a monocle. And there is a monocle option.
I wish.
In the effect. Hey, user, I think people should be more polite, even though it's patronizing. Yeah, just being like, no matter what insult you have, but if you were to insult people like this, user, you can't judge them by that. Listen, here, sir, you are quite an obnoxious asshole. Oh, good day to you. Anyway, that's just me having fun, I'm just saying. Our next panelist that we have on, you know her from GameSpot. She is on the web every single day doing her vids all over the world. It is Jess McDonald. Hello.
Hello.
And it's kind of fun that we've just figured out that we met in June last year, and we had a brief conversation, and it didn't even dawn on us until recently.
No.
That it was each other.
I remember your lipstick. I think that's what it is. You were the Australian girl with bright red lipstick. That was a giveaway.
I never wear lipstick. What are you talking about?
Jess, I'm pretty sure your Twitter says something about you being pale.
Does yeah. It? It's.
Oh, you look like so white on the webcam.
It's like the same as saying, oh, your name is Jess. People say to me, oh, my God, you're really pale. I'm like, what?
And you're like,
I'm
thank
pale?
You.
Oh, my God. Thank you for bringing that up to me.
Well, I just did, so there we go.
It's all right. I'm like, but...
It's like the whole Captain Obvious thing. Oh my God, Maud, you're really tall. And I'm like, really?
That's what it is.
It's like as soon and as you dye your hair, someone's like, oh, you dyed your hair. And you're like, yep.
That.
I did.
I did? When did I do that? Well, with Geeks Unleashed, guys, I want to talk to you guys about what it was like breaking into this industry, how you did it. We've got a bunch of questions, and if you are streaming this live, hello. If you do have the YouTube and you are commenting, that's the box to do it in, and we see everything that you chat to us about. So put in your comments now, and we will ask the girls during the stream. But in all of our Geek Unleashed, we like to kick things off with a game of quickfire questions. Are you ready?
So ready.
Okay. Oh, good. Well, Jess, you're first, so here we go.
Because I'm more ready.
Would you rather?
Oh, God.
I've only got one of them, and I don't know what else to say after it because it's pretty morbid. But it's the first thing that came into my head, so you have to ask the first thing that comes into your head.
All right, I'm good, go.
Would you rather kick a puppy or light your hand on fire?
What, my hand?
Yeah, you have to light your hand on fire.
Can I get treated, like, really quickly afterwards?
Yeah. So could the puppy, though?
Shit. You know what? I'm like a massive like white knight gamer and everything. Like I'm really bad with causing harm to like anything or anybody else. So I feel like I'm gonna go the hand and then I feel like that's a really weird choice.
Okay. No, that's cool.
No, I do the same.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I couldn't kick a puppy. I feel terrible.
We're also more
like a really ugly puppy. Like one of those little yappy, aggressive ones. Then maybe I'd like tap it lightly with.
If the puppy asks for it, that's a whole other bag.
Yeah.
If the dog asks for it,
context Maud, come on.
Kick me, please, kick me in the face. And you're like, okay.
And yeah, you're like, okay. Just doing my part.
Next question.
Okay.
What is your favorite Disney princess out of all of them?
Mulan, are you kidding? She saves China. Like, you look at the other ones, it's like, I'm now not a mermaid anymore. Or Belle is like, I fell for a beast and we made it work. Mulan saved the whole of China. I don't know. For me, it's pretty, that's pretty sorted out by itself.
And if you could transform into any comic book character, who would it be and why?
Oh my god. That's really hard. Oh, Wonder Woman, because Invisible Jet, because, yeah, she's got a whole justice thing going on. I'm big on that. I'm going to do that.
It does. Alana, you're up. You ready?
I'm so ready.
What color hair would you never dye? It.
Black.
Get out. You wouldn't go black.
No, I would look like a goth.
Me too.
I'm already, like, borderline, like, emo with the style of my hair, so if I went black, I would just be full-blown emo accidentally, so.
Because you've got the...
I've just got a hectic fringe, and I've got, like, a little shaved bit here, so it just would not be a good time.
You've
oh my god,
you're
me!
Your hair?
Yeah, it's not, like, super shaved, it used to be, but it's just really short here, because I used to shave it. Because I'm king emo, so there's that.
What was the first game you ever remember playing?
Moto Racer on PC, which is like a little motorbike game that we had the demo of that we got in one of those cereal boxes that you used to get when they used to give you games.
I remember
back
that.
In the day.
Good old days.
That's the first game I remember.
And what movie could you watch forever?
My favorite movie is Super 8, but I kind of want to say Easy A. Because that's like one of my, when I'm working and I want to have background noise, Easy A is the movie that I tend to go to because it's really lighthearted and funny and I'm a big fan of Emma Stone.
I thought there would be more quotable parts from that. I thought that people, like even to this day, would just be dropping subtle quotes from that movie. It kind of didn't take
as big
as a hoax.
The only thing you can do is sing the song from the card.
But I got a pocket full of sunshine, I got a love and another summer.
That's it. That's all you can do. Everything else... It's a good movie.
You know, I really do love it. But I just noticed that when Emma Stone talks, she does this with her mouth. So it doesn't matter what she's saying. That's just kind of pinched up. Have you
she
noticed
totally
that?
She totally does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So if I and you know the girl who plays Hit Girl in the Kick-Ass movies? There's this thing she does with her mouth constantly when she's just looking there where she just sort of like purses her lips and twitches them a little. And I'm like, stop it!
She does. She does twitch them.
Yeah. Frustrates the crap out of me.
It's kind of like, I can't do it. I'm not an actor. But everyone's got their traits. So, girls, Chloe Svenny. Is that? No, that's not her. What's her name? Chloe Moretz. Grace.
Yeah.
She's actually lovely. She's so switched on for a 16-year-old as well. It's like her and Lord, if they got together.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, she may have turned 17 recently. I'm doing Emma Stone again.
What am I doing with my life?
Let's take it to a couple of the questions. Just letting you guys know that Chris is really excited for this week's hashtag Geeks Unleashed. Tuned in and ready. So hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Barry wants to, and I'm going to say this before I ask the question, apologize for what could come across like sarcasm. But the question is, does all the latest video game news that comes from come from Australia because you're in the future?
So I did read this question. I mean, we're in the future, definitely. But
what's Sunday like? Because I'm still Saturday night.
Oh my god, it's so amazing. It's like so Sunday right
I have
now.
No idea. Everything changes.
My brother wrote me the best message going, you know, for my birthday. Hello, you are still, you know, 26, but in my world, you are 27. The future is good. You will like it.
But to answer the question for me, I only do really, like there was a point where I was working for Video Game Memes, Games, HQ Media, and Zelda Universe where I was making news videos, but they were only ever weekly recaps. So I never had that issue, but as I said earlier, I run on American time. So I go to bed at maybe 5 a.m. and wake up at like 3 p.m. So to me, it's not really an issue, but Jess, you do stuff every day, so I feel like that might be a little bit different for you.
Yeah, so we run in America time as well, because, yeah, we do the global news, because there's no GameSpot AU anymore, it's just GameSpot Global. And, yeah, so I get into work at 6 in the morning now, and we make the news videos for 9 in the morning, which is a 4 p.m. San Fran time. So it's a little rough. It's harder because daylight savings. It used to be their 4 p.m. would be our 11 a.m., which is a bit more realistic. And, yeah, so now I get up at about 5 in the morning, and I think the question was, am I doing the news from yesterday and writing it up before? And I'm not. I'm writing it up literally at about 6:30 in the morning is when I write the news. So it's all the most current stuff that's come out from the U.S., from anywhere that's gone up on our site up to that point. And then anything that's been up before whatever that would be, like 2 p.m. in the U.S., would be in the news for that day. But obviously, because it's production time, it's just me and Edmund Tran making the shows every single day, because there's only 4 of us in the GameSpot AU office. There's only so much that we can cover. So we have GS News updates now as well to cover the things that we might miss if something's going live while we're producing or later in the day.
This is such an insight into your job, and I kind of want to put the questions just on hold for a second, but make sure you keep commenting on the YouTube page and at Geek Bombshells with your questions, because we definitely will get to them. Jess, I have no idea that GameSpot AU is now just 4 people. I remember when there was a whole office. Can you just tell me, like, what's happening now? What was it like then? When did you start? What's your average day like?
So we are a whole office because we're like CBS Interactive, but that like encompasses CNET and ZD and like all the different brands. So then you've got people who are editors on those, and there's like sales and marketing. But yeah, for GameSpot right now, it's me, Edmund Trans, the video director of GameSpot AU. We've just hired Dan Hines, who is our editor for Australia. Yeah, Alana's good friend. And Zareen T is our associate editor. So it used to be 6 people. That's the maximum that it's been when I first started, when Randolph Ramsey was still in Australia and Laura Parker was working with us and James Kozanecki. But yeah, and Dan Cupini. There's been a massive turnover since I started. But, yeah, because of the fact that there's only 4 of us trying to do a lot of different things in a global scheme of things, not just for Australia, we all wear an awful lot of hats. So we're very, very busy. So, for example, I script my videos, do my presenting, and I edit quite a lot of my videos in the week as well. I have 2 out of my 3 shows I edit personally, and I edit all the top 5 news shows that we do every week. So, yeah, I keep very busy. But it's good.
So if you start at 6 o'clock in the morning, how long does the day go for you?
So it's about 6 to 2.30 nowadays, and it'll be news will be wrapped up by 9, then I'll social it on my end, not on the GameSpot end, and then it's on to whether I'm researching for my personal op-ed show, which is called The Gist, or I'm scripting that, or editing it, or Zareen and I do a live stream once a week called House of Horrors, where we play horror games, and I embarrass myself in front of the internet. Because I'm really bad with horror, and I don't know why I decided that would be a good idea.
I scream when I see creepers in Minecraft, so I can relate.
Creepers are scary, like, legitimately.
Right? I actually freak out. Like, there's one time I recorded it, but was too embarrassed to upload it, where I was just, like, squealing because this creeper was, like, going to ruin this beautiful house that I'd built. Not a good time.
If anyone Googles Maud plays Slender, there's 13 minutes, and that's all you need to see about my incapability to keep sane whilst playing horror games.
I'm not even gamed.
I've got all these like weird like mechanisms for coping where I sing when I get really, really scared. It's like when I scream on rides, I'll make up songs. So I swear like a sailor, I'll try not to do it now. But I have to put all the ratings up on our House of Horrors highlights videos that I make because I am obscene. It's bad.
It's normal. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I remember for my job, I requested, I was like, I will not watch horror movies. It's just not going to happen. But I got sent to San Fran to cover The Conjuring, and I have to watch the movie. And I found myself hands, I turned around into my seat, had my hands in my ears, and I started just humming so that I couldn't hear anything. And then I realized I was humming, hang around my nose, and I was like,
I'm totally fine with scary movies, but when it comes to games, obviously because they're interactive, I cannot handle it. Like Slender, I'm absolutely terrified of. I find that probably more scary than anything else. But if I'm watching a movie, I'll usually just laugh at it. Whereas in a game, you kind of don't have the option to just stop and laugh because you have an objective. It freaks me out.
Oh, God. I remember, in Slender, I just decided to look at the stars and I decided to become a stargazer.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to do that. Oh, there was one time when I left the screen on because I just got too scared and I was like, you know what, I give up. So I just left the screen on and then I was talking to someone next to me, like, in my bedroom. And then after maybe 5 minutes, the screen just turned by itself to his face.
Oh, my God, really?
So what happens if you leave it? It just, like, turned. And I was like, wah! Run out of the bedroom. I'm dead.
It's just to keep moving. Like, I just have to keep going forward. Like, I can't stop because I know he's usually behind me. So I'm like,
If there's a note in there, you just don't do it. If I ever have to get a note from the bathroom, I don't play. Yeah. Like, I'll restart
the
game.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't spawn for, like, it's either, like, 5 minutes or the first note.
While,
so if you run to that toilet block and then you get a note in there, which you need to do because otherwise it screws you every time, then you're fine.
Yeah.
No.
Honestly, my heart rate...
The torch also runs out.
Talking about it, my heart rate's going mental.
Not good.
So, Jess, how did you land the job at GameSpot? Because obviously those jobs are few and far between, and it's kind of cool that you got that.
Yeah, so I was in uni at the time and unemployed because I was working in retail beforehand, and then that job got made redundant. So I was just like coasting as a part-time uni student, which was great.
What were you studying?
I was studying media, at Macquarie University. Mm-hmm. My parents were like, can you please get a job? You're being lazy. And my mum works in HR, so she, like, finds people jobs for a living, and was on Seek one day and saw the ad for a casual position as a video journalist. And she sends this to me, like, alongside the, supre retail positions, which I was not going to go for. And she was like, would you do this? And I was like, fuck yeah, I would do that. I told you I was going to swear. I apologize. Oh my God, yeah. And I wrote the lamest cover letter ever where I was just like, this is my dream job because, like, my dad got me into gaming as, like, a little girl, and GameSpot has been, like, our go-to website and stuff like that. And I wrote the geekiest cover letter, and I'd already had my own blog going for a while because I thought that gaming journalism was something I'd be interested in. So I got to link that in my cover letter and show that I had something of a portfolio, like I could write and stuff, even though I don't write editorials now. I went in and they kind of liked me and had me back again, and then they needed me to make a video feature. So I made a video on, what was it about? Oh, it was being like the chosen one in games and how, like, there are so many games about being the chosen one. And it was such a hack job video looking at it, like looking back at it. But I put so much work into it, like every single free second I had between when they gave me the assignment to the next interview. I was, like, working on it so hard, and I've heard afterwards it was because of that video they decided to give me the job, which is great. I love it. They took me on full-time May of last year, so now I work full-time.
Coming up to 2 years?
For full-time. I've been there just over 2 years in total.
Do you get a lot of people kind of coming to you and you're going, how do I get my job? Because Alana, I know that you get it all the time. How do I do what you do? And you had to do a video to kind of explain yourself. Is that, do you think, like, the number one thing people ask? Or do people spend more time trying to challenge you? You're not really a gamer. What do you know?
Oh, I mean, that's always around. But, people are definitely like, oh, how do I do that? How do I work for GameSpot? And, like, well, how do I get a job in the industry? And it is rough because, like, there's not a lot of jobs. Like, the main thing I always tell people is, like, you need to be doing it without somebody giving you permission. You need to be, like, making a portfolio or, like, doing exactly what Alana is doing, like, working on, like, having this YouTube channel saying, like, hey, look, I'll do a review, like, and all these different bits and pieces without somebody, like, directly giving you an assignment as a boss in a company like GameSpot. It's so not necessary to be a part of GameSpot or IGN to be, you know, a successful person in this industry, like, because of the growth of YouTube and the growth of WordPress and everything like that. It's and people making their own websites, everything that you guys have done. It's just like people have this really closed-minded view that they have to be working for one of these giant games journalism corporations to make it work, and it's just absolutely not true.
I sometimes get people asking, like, how could I get a job for IGN? I'm like 12, and I'm like, okay, buddy, back it up a sec before you get the job for IGN. Like,
cool. You know,
start a blog, start a YouTube channel, yeah. And a lot of the time, actually, a lot of people are just like, oh, I really love games. I want a job in the games industry. I'm like, okay, well, there's a whole other side to that. You also have to be really good on social media. You have to be really good at knowing how to network is a really important thing. You have to actually not just know stuff about games or like games, but you have to be a good writer and a good content producer, and there's like all these different things that it trickles down to that I'm like, just don't go straight for IGN. Find little tiny websites, even if you can, to start writing for, instead of just being like, no, IGN or nothing, because it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah, I did the foot in the door panel last year at the EB Expo, which kind of addressed just that, like the reality of getting that particular job. And I think people do kind of get a little bit sidetracked. They're like, oh, I see you talk about games, therefore I want to do what you do. But the games industry is so big. There are game developers. There's, you know, the story writers within the game. You've got the publicists who are trying to, you know, put the word out there about the game. There's marketing. There's so much stuff that falls into the games industry. And I think, the number one message that everyone said was hard work. And I have noticed that when you give the advice, write a blog, write something every day, do a video every week, they're like, yeah, I will. 3 weeks later. That was really hard.
That's why 90% of people give up. And the thing is, because it's such a competitive industry, and when you're in this position, everyone wants your job. So there's this constant pressure that you have to perform all the time. And a lot of people just don't do it. And, you know, I'm sure that if, as long as you're really passionate, but you also have to have, like, the skills in writing if you want to be a writer, or, you know, skills in video production if you want to be a video editor. But a lot of hard work will, I honestly think hard work can achieve pretty much anything.
Hard work will prevail. Because if you
hard
haven't
got work for free a lot, too.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people kind of don't get. They're like, they see IGN because they're like, I want to get paid to do this. But the reality is, to get into a paying job, like, you gotta.
Yeah, it took at least like 8 months before I got paid when I was writing for news websites, and I know that that is actually a short amount of time compared to a lot of people.
That's
like 8 months. Yeah,
that is nothing. People have been doing it for five, ten years.
Yeah.
The whole unpaid internships thing, if for the media industry in general, I think is an enormous problem that doesn't seem to be hitting other industry. It's so not okay that it's such a big thing. And I mean, you get stuck in it because, I mean, people say, oh, it's gaming journalism, because so many people are willing to do your job for free. That's where there's so many big problems. And when you do write for these small sites like Zareen has, like other people in our industry have before they got into the job, you're offered the smallest amount of, like, compensation, if any compensation. And it's something that I wish that big sites wouldn't take advantage of people like that for what is often really, really good work.
Yeah, literally 2 days ago, someone was like, hi, Alana, we want to get you on board. And I was like, what do you want me to do? And they were like, oh, just we'll pay you to put our link in your bio on social networks. And I was like, okay, that's promotion. I'm a journalist, so I can't do that. But then second, so I was like, well, if you actually want me to work for you, you need to make me do some work. Like, I'm not going to just promote your stuff. I'll write reviews maybe, and then I'll advertise them on my social networks. And they were like, yeah, that sounds great. And I was like, will you pay me? And they were like, what? No, get over yourself. And I was like, that's not how it works. So that
actually,
I've had that pretty often where people get offended when you ask for money.
It kind of is how it works, which is why this is still a thing.
That's
like, I know, like that foot in the door, and you're right, everyone wants to do this, and everyone will, you know, if they do get over the hurdle of doing weekly videos and daily posts, they're like, well, what next? It's like, all right, I'll write for someone else and get my name published so I can say that I'm actually a published writer. And then they're like, do, you know, well, we don't really have any money. That's fine. And then it's like, okay, well, what else can I do? And you kind of do a bigger site and a bigger site. You're like, well, I've already just wrote for them for free. It's like, what's the step to go from being an unpaid, you know, intern or finding your feet or getting to that stage where your folio is getting built to getting paid? Because I think that that is a jump. Yeah. That is like work, work, work. You know, because like I said, 8 months is nothing. People have given me advice going, I've been writing for this particular magazine for free for 5 years. Like, it's just something that I've accepted, but I love it, so I'll do it. And you're like, where's the end goal?
Yeah, I think for me, it was always, like, when I first applied for a job, I knew it was for free. And when I got it, I, like, called my best friend on the phone, and I was so excited, even though this was an unpaid job. I was like, someone is letting me write about video games for them. Oh, my God. And I was just ecstatic, and I was like, dreams come true. And then it got to a point where I was doing that for about 3 months, and I was like, I love this. I want to do this forever. And if I want to do it forever, then I need to make money off of it. So then I started getting in the idea that I need to make money. And that's when I...
It's a triangle. So you start at like the bottom and like, you know, you love it. You want to write. You get it. And then like to kind of climb up and up the ranks. There's smaller, less work, less opportunities.
But you also really have to think about like the idea that it was longevity was the thing I think that made a difference to me, where I was like, I started the YouTube channel and... My YouTube channel started as a portfolio, and then I started earning money from it, and then I started having a lot of fun with it as well, because I have a really good community on my personal channel, so I started doing that more, and then I started like contacting people who didn't have a YouTube channel that had a really large Facebook page, like video game memes, and I was like, do you guys want a presenter? Would you like video game news? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So it's stuff like that where you really have to take the initiative if you actually want to make any kind of profit or really even survive. Like, I make next to no money, but I'm still... making money, and I'm still able to get these kind of opportunities, and it's awesome. So, yeah, you just have to be ambitious and really focused on where you're going to go instead of just lazily being like, yeah, I'll do stuff for free forever, whatever, because it's you know, no, it's never going to change unless you change it.
I agree, though, that you do have to ask. It's like, you know, if you do see a site that you love or you represent, and you can kind of see not a flaw, but definitely room to grow, maybe it's just something that they haven't thought of yet. So if you pitch it to them going, hey, I've got this great idea, and as a payment... scratch my back because I'm helping you with yours. Yeah, I think that's a really smart idea.
I've done that a lot. The biggest problem is that for two websites that I've done it for, I ended up stopping making videos for them pretty quickly because they were like excessively demanding or rude or like disrespectful because they're not established companies. You don't actually know what they're like. So like you pitch it to them and then, you know, you get paid and you make a couple of videos, and then I was eventually like, okay, yeah, no, this was not a good idea. Regret wasting this time because they like... not great people some of the time, so I don't know, it's a hit and miss, but I definitely wouldn't change anything I've done.
Like, it's someone that's gotten really big, and like when people have subscribers or likes or followers, you can blow up really, really big, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily capable of running a business. I mean, I think saying the skills that you've acquired from your job, like you edit, you write, you do your videos, you have to research, you wear a lot of hats. And I think when someone's just kind of posting memes and it grows huge, they're like, oh, my God, like I'm in over my head. And then it's like, all right, I've got to kind of now wear another hat, which I don't know what it's about. And yeah, I think that's where we have a lot of these problems where people get too big and they're like, well, what do I do now? And it's like, you actually need to get some skills.
Yeah, I think trying to specialize in this industry in Australia especially is like a really bad idea. Like if you can only do one thing, like that's a really big problem. And especially the reality is becoming if one of those things is not related to video, that's another thing as well, because video is getting bigger and bigger. It's the main way that companies are capitalizing on platforms like YouTube. It's the main way for, you know, to make money off marketing and sales and like promotions and things like that. Everything that we can get off of video is usually better than what we can get off an editorial. Not to say that editorial isn't really important, because it is, and just because I'm a video person, I'm probably biased. But I think it's like for us especially, if I had come into the company only being able to present and that was my thing, I wouldn't have gotten my job. I mean, even though I don't write that much, I have the capability to write. I have written editorials for GameSpot before. So it's like, yeah, that's something I can do. I can I've got the mindset to formulate ideas for my personal show that I do on GameSpot every week.
The fact that you've got a personal show as well, like that's
and that's back to the asking for it thing. It's like, hey, look, I can do this. I can present. I can self-produce the thing. I can edit it. Like, I don't have to push everything onto Ed, who is the only other person in our office that edits. Because we've only got two video people, and we between us we produce at least 7 videos a week, usually more when Zareen and Ed have video features to do. So that's a lot of work between the two of us, and it's very like it's imperative that I can edit myself and that Ed won't have to micromanage me and stuff like that. If you can approach a company, any company, this isn't even just like games journalism, and say I can do this breadth of things, even if they haven't asked for it in their job requirements or something, if you can put your hand up and say, look, if you need me to do this, I can do this, it makes such a difference.
So when you studied, obviously you're saying you did a media degree. What did you learn from that and how did that help?
Mostly my media degree was like random stuff. Like I took everything because Macquarie doesn't really give you prerequisites. I was doing ancient history and philosophy and French and web design, like the weirdest shit. And it was a lot of fun, but it was very much like the arts uni experience where I was just doing a bit of everything, which was good. I think my writing improved a lot by studying at uni. That's probably the main thing I got out of attending uni myself. And I spent most of my life before I went to uni wanting to be an actress. So remembering lines is something I can do, which I do every day because we don't use a teleprompter for news. So everything that I'm saying on camera, I'm remembering from what I've written 20 minutes ago. And everything move a lot faster, and that's really important. So from the stuff that I've learned, it's sort of this culmination of skills that I kind of gathered. Like I learned a lot of what I do editing now on the job from Ed, and I had a base of that from studying basic video editing at university and high school, but I had to learn a lot when I started, and it was a very, very steep learning curve, but I mean, I'm still learning, and that's what keeps my job fresh and interesting, is that I'm always doing different things.
I think video editing was easily the biggest curve for me as well, because I was like, so I started writing, and then a company was like, hey, do you want to make a video and want to start making news videos? And I was like, yeah, sure, that'd be awesome, I'd love to do that. And then when I started doing it, it was so much more complicated than I expected. Like, to figure out how to put pictures over a video, even that, I was like, how do I do this? Like, getting videos over other video footage and keeping the audio, like, that stuff's really complicated, and then there's rendering issues, and, like, it's, people seem to think that presenting is really easy, but when you're editing the videos and scripting them yourself as well, it's like, I mean, hours, like, hours for a 3-minute video. It takes a really, really long time.
Yeah. That's such a hard thing to get across to editors as well. Because I used to work for the editing side. Now GameSpot is divided into editorial and video, so Ed is my boss now. But I used to work for the editing side, and they don't understand that it's like, it's a 2-minute video. You can get the edit done in half an hour. I'm like, no, it's so complicated. It's not about like the length. It's about the levels. So, for example, when I edit the gist, it's like, that's my personal share. There's like the A roll and the B roll, and there's transitions and there's countdown numbers and there's the watermark and titles and low thirds. Like it might not be long, but it's really high, like on the timeline. There's just so many elements.
Yeah.
What do you guys use to edit?
I use Final Cut.
I use Premiere Pro.
You use
Mac, just?
Yeah, we're on Macs at work.
Yeah, it seems like Final Cut's better, but I do really like Premiere Pro. I'm pretty comfortable with it. And if I don't have to edit anything flashing in, I will always use Windows Live Movie Maker because it is the most simple thing ever. So if I can get away with using that, I will always do it.
That's good.
Tara, not often, though. Very quiet. You're an editor as well. Thank you. Tell us all your secrets.
My secrets. I don't know. I taught myself how to edit after you needed me to edit a video. So that's my story.
I was like, I want to edit a video, and you're like, I'll do it. You never told me that you had no idea how to.
No, well, I always used to use iMovie. We used to make little home movies, me and my family. So I had iMovie background, and then I moved to Final Cut when you needed me to do it. But I think I told you that I knew how to use it before I actually knew how to use it.
Yeah, you did. You nailed it. But the thing is, I remember telling you, I was like, so this is what I need from the video. What are you thinking? Because I used to help my then boyfriend edit the videos, and he broke up with me. And I was like, oh, crap. Because he was supposed to teach me how to do it, and he knew that I needed him. So we held that, and he goes, yeah, I'll teach you how to do it later. I'll just do this one. I'll teach you how to do the next one. I'm like, come on. And then again, bro, this isn't about me, though.
Sure.
Right? And, yeah, I think that you actually say the best thing ever in the world, Tara. If there's an opportunity, even if you don't really know, you fake it till you make it, or you figure it out.
And yeah, as long as you can actually figure it out. If I'd said that and then not been able to do it, I would have been screwed.
Yeah, that's always a trial. When I first started at GameSpot, I may have embellished how much I knew about editing in my interview. I was like, I know the cameras. You know, I know the DSL. Yes, I've used that one. There's sometimes with the R. Yeah, for sure. And Ed always complains that I lied to him because I asked so many questions. And that's the thing as well. Like, once they've taken you on board, I was asking him, like, 60 questions a day. I was like, so when I want to put a clip on the timeline, how does that happen? He's just like, oh, my God. I was driving him crazy for the first 3 months, but now, like, I've gotten to a point where I'm very, very confident in my skills. So I'm glad I was kind of like, I'm pretty sure I can do this. Let's do this. And then just learn it really fast.
Well, that's it. You learn on the job, you know, and there's a lot of pressure behind it. So you've got, there is only one option. You cut it and you do a good job or else you're in trouble. Alana, you're studying as well at uni. Can you tell us about your degree?
I'm studying mass communication, which is literally communicating on a massive scale, with a major in journalism and entertainment. So it's basically just like teaches you about stuff like radio, like internet journalism or print journalism. Just basically everything that I'm doing for work, I'm also studying. And I kind of hate it, so yeah.
Hold on, you're studying what you want to do, but you hate it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. The attitude is that there are so many people who want the job that I have, and I am one of those people. I really want to stay where I am. So I was like, well, while I'm still 20, I don't really feel like I need to get a full-time job right now. So I was like, I'm going to get that degree on my resume in case it comes to one day where I'm going for this really awesome full-time job that I want that someone else has a degree for and I don't, and that's the thing that lets me down. So I was like, I'm not taking any chances. So it got really hard because I started my degree like a year after I started in the industry, and I mean, I'm really busy now and I've had to cut out some of the work stuff, but I feel like it'll pay off in the long run, and it's kind of stupid of me not to do it while I still have the opportunity to.
For all the internationals, sorry about our accents. So you're in Brizzy. Where are you studying there?
QUT. So Queensland University of Technology.
Yeah, my brother goes there or went there. I don't even know what he's doing anymore. He was doing a double degree and I'm IT and maths.
I'm getting a transfer to San Jose, hopefully, at the start of next year for 6 months.
You don't say.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, seriously. I can't be more of an advocate about it. Sometimes you just got to pack your bags and go. There's so much of the world. Yeah. There's so much there. So what's the next step for you guys? I'm going to quickly move on to questions. So if you've got any burning questions, now is the time to write them on our Twitter at Geek Bombshells or below the video on YouTube. But what is next? What else do you want to do? You guys must be hungry.
I just got a job working for a new Australian website, which is called GameBugAU, and I'm going to be doing videos for them, which are going to be like basically like topical. I can pick whatever I want and make a video about it every week. So this week I was going to do like the best April Fool's jokes in the industry from all of the cool stuff that people have done, which is exciting because I really like having creative control. But I also just got a job on Triple J. I had, like, my trial kind of last weekend after Supernova, so I'm hoping to be able to do, it's going to be, like, 2-3-minute reviews for them every now and then of major titles and stuff like that. So that's exciting, and I decided that I wanted to start vlogging more on my YouTube channel. So I'm going to start making more vlogs.
Vlogging's such a dirty word, isn't it?
Yeah.
I could see it, and I can just hear the flush after you've vlogged. But there you
go. You made it weird.
I did. I went there. Don't look at me. I'm vlogging.
It is kind of like that when someone walks in on you, though. It is. It's weird as.
Yeah. And then I was, yeah. What if someone walked in now, like in the back of my shot, and they're like, what are you doing? Because this is my bedroom. This is my bedroom.
Nice my, posters.
Yeah. My Zelda wall, and my Final Fantasy wall, and my Star Wars wall, and then my DC wall is over there. And I notice in your bedroom, we're in your bedroom, Jess, and then you have puppies on your tissue box.
Do I? Oh my god, I do. I didn't even notice. Yeah, this is my bed. I actually made my bed because I've shot YouTube videos in here before when my bed's been a mess, and people pointed out in the comments.
They always comment on that. Every time someone's like, make your bed. I'm like, guys, I'm making video. I don't have time for that.
Yeah. Like, why do you care?
I don't get to have it. Oh, and they're like, oh, messy room. Like, shut up.
What is some of the strangest things that you've read in the comment section? Because I feel that when we do put ourselves, you know, face to face, like obviously they can see us and they automatically, it's almost a gateway where we have allowed them to judge us because we put ourselves out there. What's some of the best and the worst things as a consequence?
I think I can say that the comment sections of Alana and my videos are a nightmare. I think that would probably... Yeah. It can get really bad, and especially on my YouTube channel, because it's not my YouTube channel, it's GameSpot, there is no connection to it being an individual's. So for example, on my personal YouTube channel, people are lovely, like they get so involved and they're nice to each other and they're nice to me. When you're on YouTube as a representative of a corporation, it is, oh god, it's so fucking bad. It's like,
yeah.
People can be really nice and they'll shoot down some of the crap, but yeah, because I do the daily news videos that go up every day, there is always the objectifying comments, the harassment, and just the weird things. Someone said they wanted to crawl into my stomach and lay eggs the other day. That happens a lot.
A lot?
That's romantic. A lot.
That's inventive.
It's a weird, scary place, YouTube.
Would they be
The corporation ones are definitely way worse because they're like, you're an evil company, so you just get this disgusting stuff. My personal channel, like you said, I thought it was just me. I thought I'd like gotten really lucky with the amount of subscribers that I have that are just nice. But yeah, my personal channel, they are all lovely and they talk to me and they talk to each other and they make jokes and they're just the nicest people ever. And then anywhere else, it's like, I should not be reading this. This is not a good time.
Yeah.
But the weird ones are usually the weirdly sexual ones where they're specific about really, really strange things where you're like, what?
You put way too much thought into that.
Yeah, and it's creepy as, but I think most of the time, which I guess I only realized recently, they really are just saying it for a reaction. They want you to respond to them. They just want attention. They don't want to hurt you. They just want your attention, because then afterwards they might screen cap it and then tweet it and be like, oh my god, this person replied to me, and you're like, that's all you were saying. That's
oh my
serious?
God,
so,
yeah, that happens. That's frustrating. I know people generally say don't engage, but to be honest, I feel like that's kind of enabling from my point of view, and I don't like stepping back and letting people feel like they can just say, like, hang out in the comments and say shit things with no repercussions.
I would delete it.
Yeah, well, on our YouTube channel, I can't because it's the GameSpot YouTube channel. But, yeah, you know, every so often someone would be like, oh, I don't like this person. I'm like, oh, I like you. And they're like, oh my god, you're here. And they're like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It was because of this, and this reason. Like, if you get in there, like, more often than not, they're like, oh god, I was just saying that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who attack you who really like you that only attack you because they want you to say something to them. And that's just messed up.
Yeah. So basically, the enabling that you're saying is that they just feel like they're yelling into an empty room, so they can just say whatever they want and they won't get anything back from it. But you're saying that if you were to kill them with kindness, because it's that kind of thing where, you know, they'd say it into the internet but they wouldn't say it to your face. So this is like the next step to saying it to your face. And then if you go in all defensive going like, well, fuck you, you know, I can't believe you said that, then they've got a reason to kind of back it up. Yeah. But I guess if you come in there going, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, like, can you just explain why? Or, you know, I want to make sure you have the best viewing experience. And they're like, oh, I've said something really angry and you've been nice to me. I think it depends
on what they say. Like, some people say things that are super rude and really inaccurate that I have this part of me that really wants to defend, where I'm like, no, that's bullcrap. I'm not standing for that. And then I'll be like, this is why this is wrong. I will never swear or name call, but I'll be like, this is why what you have said is incorrect. And then I sort of treat them like an idiot. But those people usually leave. But then, yeah, there are people who, like, will... If someone gives criticism, then I try to always reply, because even if they're saying something negative, they're still trying to help you. And I think criticism is probably the most beneficial thing that you can get. It's more helpful than compliments. So it's something that I feel like people deserve responses to, especially on, like, my personal channel, because they're people who are there for, like, a more personal experience. So I try really hard to actually interact with them.
But there's a difference between constructive criticism and an insult.
There is a massive difference that some people don't get, where you're like, that was really rude, and they're like, no, it was constructive. And I was like, in what way would that ever help me? Like, I don't, how? And they're like, no, it was. I'm like, no, well, you're just a jerk.
Like, when they comment on your looks, I think that you should wear your hair like this. And you're like, oh, because that's affecting the content of the video.
Yeah,
people always saying to me, can you do something different with your hair? And I'm like, dude, I'm getting up at 6 in the morning, I get ready in half an hour, I'm not doing anything different with my hair. I don't have the time or the inclination to make my hair look different from the video that I do 5 times a week. I can't be bothered.
I never knew that you got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like, that's for me. That was like, what? Yeah. I'm kind of glad we're learning stuff. So we've spoken about what kind of reactions you get from a public sense, and how it's a little bit faceless and nameless, and what an insult is, and what a, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you always take it with a grain of salt, because you've never met this person and you're probably never going to meet this person. What about internally? What about the reactions and kind of relationships that you build? Obviously, with you, Jess, you've got a team and you've got each other's backs. But from, like, a games industry point of view, what kind of support is there? I found that comparatively from Australia to LA, LA's got each other's backs a lot more. There's a lot more ideas floating around. Sharing of contacts is more kind of gracious, and they party together a lot more. So it's more like yay. But what is it for you guys?
It's really double-sided. I've actually spoken to Dan about this, where he mentioned that you had the same issue, Jess, where there are a lot of people who are very supportive and lovely, and you can talk to them forever and they believe in you. And I always get kind of, like, all giddy when someone who's in the industry, like basically tells me they believe in me. That's always like, oh, man, like, my friends say that, but when someone in the industry does, you're like, damn, dude. But then on the other side, there are some people who I think unintentionally make you feel like you don't belong. Or I suppose specifically because we're young girls, they think that you're there and they're not because you're a young girl, when really, you know, they just dismiss all the hard work you've done. And it seems like there are some people who are really out to get you or want to see you fail. And even if they're not doing it as a personal thing, they're just doing it as a career thing, it's definitely there, and there's, like, a lot of pressure, I think. But I would say that it's absolutely 50-50. There is, like, 50% of people are lovely and supportive, and then there's 50% who are kind of passive-aggressive, and you feel like they don't want you there, and you're not sure, and you don't know what to say, and it's I don't know, it's both. And because it is such a competitive industry, I feel like that kind of has to be expected.
Yeah, so I think the competition's driving that sort of rivalry, or, you know.
Yeah, and people who aren't in the same position that a 20-year-old girl is, who want to be, automatically say it's because I'm a girl, you know, that kind of thing. And I get that mostly, I think, from guys in the industry. And
that looks, you know, you're only where you are because of the way you look.
Yeah.
There's a lot
from, like, people undermining everything else, like, that Alana and I can do as presenters, as editors, by people just saying, yeah. And I mean, that's the sad thing. Like, you kind of expect people on the internet every so often to be like, she's only there because of this. And in that case, I'll usually tell them, no, I can do all these things. But it sucks when it's in your own industry and there is that quiet sort of, oh, she's a young, attractive girl. Like, it's a whole other playing field. It can't be because she's actually quite good at what she does and knows what she's talking about. And I think it's difficult sometimes not to feel like an outlier because, you know, it's like I was attending the Titanfall thing the other day at the launch party, and it is such a boys' club. It is like, you know, you can get in with it. Like, I'm absolutely used to just hanging out with mostly guys because that's every single industry event. But when I first started and people didn't know me at all, it was definitely, people would be tentative to talk to me because I guess there's like less of a relationship there, and they don't really like value like that I'm actually, in addition to this industry, like a person that's passionate about games and stuff like that, which can be like, you know, kind of crap. It gets a bit better. You can get both sides.
There's times when I know I have to go to an event or something, and I'm like, there's one person there who I kind of think hates me for whatever reason, and there's a few people like that, and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Should I go talk to them about video games? Should I just not talk to them at all? Like, because you don't want people to dislike you, and do you understand why? And you know it's not personal, but it's still this thing that I do find really intimidating, that sometimes if I have to go to an event and I know that there are people there who probably don't like me much for my career or whatever, then I just really feel nervous more than anything, and I'm like, I have no idea what to do, so... I mean, yeah, like I said, there is a lot of good. And I mean, the Australian games industry really fights for women, like, in a really good way. There are a lot of people who are really big on social media who, if someone says something sexist to you, the people in the industry will really stick up for you. And I think that's, like, outstanding how forward it feels. It feels like everyone has accepted that it is a thing that exists and they fight for it. And there are people who, like, I feel like always have my back. But, yeah, on the flip side, there are people who are passive-aggressive and you feel like, yeah, they just want you to fail or don't want you to be there. And it's a bit scary.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got some questions flooding in, so I just thought I've got 15 minutes to kind of answer quite a few, so just, you know, whatever you think in a punchy way how you can answer it, let's stick with that one, and we'll give you when you answer. The first question, Shane Ashby, thank you for streaming this one. He wants to know, or she, Shane, sorry, Ash is the, Shane, sorry, buddy, you're awesome. That's not water. What do you think makes a good YouTube video show?
Well planned, really precise, don't ramble.
Yeah. Keep them short. People have short attention.
Punchy, quick is better.
Especially most do not ramble. People always ramble. Don't do it. It ruins everything.
And I hope that answered your question. And Daniel Porter's got one as well. Do game companies ever try and sway you?
Oh my god, no. No one's doing it. No one's buying review scores. The thing is, like, that people don't understand. If this actually happened, like, if IGN or GameSpot were being paid to give review scores, if that got out, it would destroy, like, this huge website that's been built up
because
over
decades.
Because
they'd be doing it to journalists. So the journalists are going to report on it.
It would be a ridiculously silly thing to do. Like, it would, like, integrity is so important to us. Like if ever we do paid things for certain games, we get in external personalities. So they, like, so we don't taint our, like, internal editors or video producers or video journalists. Like, it is so important to us to separate the worlds of sales and marketing and editorial. Like, it just absolutely does not happen.
I think the only thing that does happen is sometimes when you get a review,
it can get incredibly uncomfortable stuff. Yeah, and that
like
can be quite, I mean,
review,
they can kind of do little subtle things to be like us.
Yeah,
it
but
can
they
get
never
very,
tell
very
you
uncomfortable
too, or...
when you are sent, like, I mean, no, it's never that at all. But yeah, you know, you kind of put up in a beautiful hotel and you can playing the game and they put on a and you're like, this game must be pretty shit if you're spending all this money on us to really like it. Same movies as well. They'll do junkets. It's very, very similar. You know, if the junket all of a sudden is in Cancun for 4 nights and they've got, like, you know, salsa classes and this and that, and you're like, wait a minute. They really want us to like this movie. But at the end of the day, it is a personal opinion. It is what you think, and there, you know, you can't be bought or swayed.
Yeah,
but yes,
sometimes
it's uncomfortable when you are kind of friends with the PR.
Yeah, that's what
I
was going to say.
And they're like,
what
do you think of the game or the movie? And you're like,
yeah.
Jamie Wilson, the PR rep, I should probably send him to Yoshi's New Island. And I just want to be like, sorry in advance, Jamie. I'm sorry. I couldn't. It wasn't great. I'm just kind of reluctant to send him what I've written. Yoshi's New Island was just not a good time.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. We've got Jessica who wants to know, are there any small websites that you recommend writing for? What kind of small websites do you champion?
My first one was Luna Digital, and I had a really great time writing for them. I mean, for finding smaller websites, usually what I would try and search for would be Facebook pages that are listed as being in your city, or Google searches that also like only show results in your city for game websites, and then it's a really good way to find small ones.
Mm. Why within the region? Because we're in a kind of a day and age now where
I suppose you wouldn't have to, but I think when you're starting out, it's really important to have an editor, like someone who can actually be hands-on and help you. And a lot of people over emails, especially editors, when you're submitting something that's writing, they do not give you any feedback. So if you have someone living in the same place as you, you're going to get a lot more constructive criticism and help than you would anywhere else.
Okay, so
I think, Zareen says she had a pretty good time working for Kotaku back in the day before she started. That was the main place that she was submitting bits and pieces to. And I've also had friends that worked for Capsule Computers on and off who quite liked it. So those were some good little websites for them. Pretty much like anyone else I've talked to, though, they've basically written their editorials or anything and then just, like, shopped them around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would not call Kotaku small.
No, that is not small.
And it kind of, like, you know, if you want to write lots of reviews and completely make it your own, I mean, it's kind of hard to learn because you're not getting feedback or answering to someone, so it's kind of good to work with other people. But to database them all, make your own blog. That way they're all there in a folio, which brings me to Chris's question. WordPress. Mentioned it before. Any tips on learning to set up a WordPress site? I almost want to pass this over to Tara because Tara had no idea how to make a website, and then she has made two recently on WordPress. So go on.
For funsies, yeah. It's easy to learn. It's easy to learn any of these things, even video editing. If you just go on Google and if you want to learn how to do something, find a YouTube video that'll teach you how to do it, or find a step-by-step guide on how to do it. WordPress is super easy to set up. The only thing you really need to struggle with is figuring out what host to use and then how to set up WordPress on your host.
Don't use NetRegistry. Oh, God above, do not use NetRegistry.
That's really a host. Okay.
What is the NetRegistry then?
We're not hosting with NetRegistry.
No, I know. No, because I didn't allow it because I did maudgarrett.com with NetRegistry and they can...
Oh, yeah, for your domain name, yeah.
Domain.
You're hosting it within normal WordPress, though, rather than setting it up on a separate site, which is beneficial to do. So rather than go through WordPress.com, because you're very limited by what you can do, start your own. WordPress.org is the one you want, where you set that up on your own host, and you can add all of these different kinds of plugins that make it way more customizable, and you get way more options of things you can do. So avoid WordPress.com, which is the problem that Mort is having. Don't use that. Start your own. Do it on your own host. And then, follow YouTube videos. Follow blogs to find out how to do it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, or you can pay someone to do it.
Or pay me to do it. Hey, I'll make it.
It comes with glowing recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my WordPress on, I had another sidequest.com for a while, and that's what I had when I was first applying for my job, which worked out really well, because when you first start with WordPress, it's pretty cheap, and then my renewal came up a little while ago, oh god, it gets expensive, like ridiculously expensive to keep using their site to have your own domain. I can't remember exactly how much they wanted to charge me, but it was so much, I was like that is ridiculous. I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
So now I'm just using their free, you know, .wordpress.com because it's essentially the same thing. Like, it's nice to have your own domain, and I might go back to it at some point, but for me, I was really just using it for a blog, and if you're using it for a portfolio anyway, like, go for the domain if you've got the money and you want to, but, you know, there's so many, like, free options out there, and WordPress is a good one. The main reason I used it is it's so simple. Like, I didn't want to have to tackle, building a new page every single time I wanted to. I did know a bit about web design, but I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, scripting in HTML when I wanted to post a new blog post. And WordPress just makes it so easy. You just write it out. You can insert pictures. Everything's so simple, and it's done.
Mine is on a my portfolio portfolio is just on a Tumblr, which is free. Obviously, if you want a website, you can't customize it very much, like a little bit, but not that much. So I just post everything on that Tumblr, and I just bought a DNS for it, which is just like a name for it that you can just reroute to Tumblr. So it's alanapierce.com, but normally it would be like... It was originally charalanazardgames.tumblr.com, but someone has changed that to be like some kind of mining thing because it maybe came up in like Google search results. So some weirdo has like changed that. But yeah, so alanapierce.com is just a Tumblr, super easy to use, free. I pay for the domain every year, and that's like $2, and that's it. So
cool.
That works out pretty well.
Is a great segue to the next question from Endangered Gamer, who has written in saying, I've decided to have a go at writing. I'm new to Twitter and Tumblr, and I don't know how to get any followers or feedback or anything.
So the way I did it when I first set up all my bits and pieces, the first thing I had was a blog way down the track when I started getting a lot of personal messages to my Facebook from people. That's when I decided to set up a Facebook page that people could like.
Yeah,
to,
me too.
Talk to me and go to... It was... I hated making it because they called it a fan page and I despised
it.
It
felt so wanky. I felt so bad about myself, yeah. But I was like, I need to separate the two.
It's so necessary, though, because then, you know, people send their messages to there and then they understand that they're talking to a page, they're not talking to your personal Facebook, which is really important to me. But for me, when I was setting up either of those things, what I did was I took to Facebook and I sent out a message to all the people that I thought would remotely be interested in the things that I was talking about, or just my really good friends as well. And I was like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Like, can you take a look? And I would let them know when I had new blog posts and stuff. This was before I'd set up a Twitter, which I didn't do before I got to GameSpot. Obviously, social media is definitely something you want to use. But I would just, like, start from your friends. I mean, it's all about networking. It's going from one person, which will then go to a couple of other people, and on and on and on. And hopefully you'll build a base from there. But start with people that you think will be interested. You can post to forums. You can post to just, like, get your information to a group of people that you think it will appeal to, and then, you know, it spreads on from that point.
Alana, you kind of had massive success with subscribers.
My advice just don't... Have I? Oh. Okay. No, my biggest advice would be to not care about followers, because once you start caring about that, a lot of people tend to start focusing so much more on their social media than they do on their work. And I see that really often where people are like trying to have the best tweet or the best Facebook page or have the most interesting content on that when there's a million other people doing that and then you're not actually working. So I think that's a really big important thing, is that you need to get your work solid first before you start sharing it around and feel confident with it. And then I guess my Twitter started, I mean, I got a lot of followers on Twitter because of a Kotaku article I posted, and the way that I got that was basically through networking with other people in the industry. So following them, when they comment on games, I reply to them. There are a few people who I had like objectives that I was like, I really want this person to follow me at some point. They're an amazing person. I love what they do. I would love to work with them. Jim Sterling was the most recent one. I don't know, he's been following me for like maybe 4 months now, and sometimes it's in the back of my head where I'm like, Jesus Christ, Jim Sterling is following me. But he was like a person that I was like, I'm going to keep interacting with his tweets and make sure that he knows that I'm here so that I can like ask him for advice or get his help, because he's someone I really respect. So I did that. But yeah, like I said, hard work I think is way more important, like getting your writing done, than getting the social media following. Because if you're good at work, like you're good at what you do, then a social media following will come, which is like what happened to me with my Kotaku article. It was something that just like blew up and a lot of people read it and I got a lot of followers, and Felicia Day tweeted me, which is crazy, and stuff like that. So that's my best advice, is don't care about followers.
Do you think though that there is a lot of weight on followers because it's almost like a currency? It's like, you know, with jobs. How many followers have you got? Yeah.
But I mean, it's still never going to help you more than being a really good writer or a really hard worker will. So, I mean, obviously you need to focus on both, but I do really, really think that the work itself is more important than just trying to get followers.
Right. So if there is
but
a
I understand why people
them.
Have that objective. Yeah. They definitely coexist.
10,000 Facebook likes on your page, and then they're like, well, can you write us something? And you're like, what do you mean? I can just do a status update.
Yeah, and for a while I had it in my head that it was important for me to have a Facebook page and get likes, because Facebook does this thing where it makes you really like care about the amount of likes you have, And I was like, yeah, but it would get me job opportunities. And then I realized it didn't get me any job opportunities at all. The only thing that ever got me job opportunities was me submitting stuff. So I was like, I need to stop caring about Facebook page likes because they actually do nothing. They just make you think.
I hate their manipulation. I mean, they do.
It all the time. I was like, I should care.
No, they're like, we're just letting you know that someone else is monitoring your page to see how many likes you're getting.
Yeah.
Do you want to monitor their page or do you want to monitor these pages? I'm like, no.
Does it all the time. Yeah, it's bad. But I guess for social media, like I said, it'll just happen. I know. How weird is that? It's so weird. I can never imagine doing that to someone.
It's like we were just talking about how it's an unnecessarily competitive environment. And then Facebook's in there
that's
going,
part of it.
Hey, yeah. Hey, why don't you two let's see how many likes you can get?
It's like, yeah, it's bad.
I think out of all of them, Facebook is my least favorite, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
If I can flush that down the vlog pile, I flush it.
I like
what
Twitter
is your favorite? Twitter?
Yeah,
Twitter's so easy. It's simple. It's a good way to communicate with people, which is my favorite thing about doing this job. It's the simplest way to have a back and forth and get, you know, reception from people and find out what they think about my work. I like it.
And you also learn about news instantly. If there's anything you've ever missed, you will know immediately if you're on Twitter.
Yeah.
Hmm. And no one can really rant. They can't be like, well, I think blah, blah, blah. You get 140 characters. If you can't sell your point, you go try again, and then you're a little crazy. If you've been blind this entire time, I'm just going to paint you a picture. We have been having subheadings with our name and our Twitter handles under it. So hopefully you've been taking note of what we are so that if you want to continue the conversation with any of us, you can find us on Twitter. We've got at Char Alanazade if you want to chat to Alana Pierce. You've got at Jess McDonald if you want to have a chat with her. At Tazpants for a little word with our Doctor Who beanie wearing Tara, and I'm at Maud Garrett with two R's, two T's. There's a couple of questions that we didn't get to. Girls, later on in the week, did you want to check back with this video and maybe answer the questions that we've missed?
Yeah, sure.
Ah, that's lovely. We care. Lots of love. But in the meantime, thank you so much for streaming this Geeks Unleashed. What's the name of your show, Maud? I don't know. It's a Saturday night. It's a Saturday night, and I'm all alone. No, I've got plans after this. I've got plans. Like, as soon as I shut the computer, I've got Elder Scrolls Online! Ah! Really into it. To top things, I'm going to finish it off. Can we have a quick round of Power? It's PWR. What are you playing? What are you watching? What are you reading? To give you an idea, I will go first. I am playing Elder Scrolls Online. I'm watching me play Elder Scrolls Online, and I'm reading this shit on Elder fucking... No, I'm watching... I'm not watching anything at the moment, but I'm reading Game of Thrones. I'm watching Transcendence. This is a shit movie. Shit. And I'm reading...
It wasn't great.
Oh, it's not great. And I'm reading the third Game of Thrones book. Jess, you're up. Power, hit me.
I'm playing Wolf Among Us, episode 3, next thing on my plate. I'm watching Game of Thrones as well. I should pick something else. Watching Mindy Project, because it rocks. And I'm reading the first comic of Fables, which is the same as playing. Yeah.
I love Fable.
Yeah.
Sick.
Great series.
Lana?
I'm playing Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney on 3DS, which I love. I'm watching reruns of Charmed. I've been, recording it and watching it all, which is pretty cool. Reading this book called... it's the sequel to The Name of the Wind. Wise Man's Fear is what it's called.
Oh,
and
great.
It's amazing. Yeah, I love it so far.
What are you up to?
I'm like halfway. I don't know how to say anything without spoilers, but the guy who was doing the thing to the king has just left.
What?
Yep.
So that's where I'm up to, and I love it. Yeah, it's a good book.
I don't want to spoil anything, but...
don't spoil anything. What are you doing? Oh, really? Well, I know who that's related to. I'm kind of not surprised, so... that's going to be awesome to read.
Great. I want to get Patrick Rothfuss back on our book club because he... Oh, my God. We all just sat there going...
fantastic. I think he's probably the best writer. Like, I read a lot of books, and, I mean, I've loved a lot of books, but... I think he just the things that he writes, like the metaphors in his words, the way he describes the sky, I'm just like, good God, you're amazing. And
you know who has never played a musical instrument? That blew my mind. It blew it into pieces.
Why?
He's not a muso. Why? Because he writes about the lyre. Oh my God.
I don't remember what it's called. But yeah, no, that is kind of weird because he does do a really good job of explaining what it's like to play music.
I was like,
makes it like erotic. It's weird.
Ah, oh, it's fantastic. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. This has been Geek Bomb. Geeks Unleashed. The bomb has been dropped.